This is the last day of 2023. We're heading into 2024, and as such, I wanted to start a new series today as we head into the new year. It's actually going to take us several weeks into the new year, called Press On. And basically, this is going to be a sermon series on what to do instead of giving up. You see, over the years, I've watched countless people just give up. I've watched people give up on their kids. I've watched people give up on their marriage. I've watched people give up on God. And I've even watched people give up on life. Life sometimes becomes overwhelming, and I think this happens to all of us, to the point where we don't know what else to do. Giving up seems like the only logical answer. We feel like our problem that we're facing is not fixable. We don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. And so what that causes is it causes us to lose hope. And I believe that some of you are there right now. You're in here this morning and you've lost hope. So over the next several weeks, I'm going to give you some great truths that will help you press on. And we're going to tie this into our 40 days of prayer and fasting that I'm going to talk about here in a moment. The 40 days of prayer and fasting is something that we do every year. We've done it since I've arrived in Green Bay. So I think this is the seventh year now. And so many of you have given me testimonies of what God has done during the first 40 days of the year. It's remarkable. So I want to encourage you, if you're at a place right now where you feel like you're ready to give up, I encourage you to get serious with God for the next 40 days and just watch what He does in your life. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you some tools that you can use to strengthen your relationship with God. But just like with any tool, if you take the tool and you put it in the toolbox and you don't utilize it, it will never accomplish what it was created to do. So I'm going to give you tools, but it's up to you to actually use it. You know, when it comes to fasting and prayer, there are some things that can only be dealt with through fasting and prayer. In Matthew chapter 17, the disciples of Jesus, they're not able to cast a demon out of a boy. And so Jesus comes along, He casts the demon out, He heals the child, and the disciples ask Him, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we cast the demon out? And Jesus responded, this kind only comes out through fasting and prayer. There are some things that you're going to face in life. There are going to be some problems and some difficulties and some mountains that you face that can only be overcome through fasting and prayer. So I encourage you to take this seriously. Okay, before we get into that though, I want to share with you a truth today that has literally changed my life. So if you have your Bible or Bible app, I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. All of today's notes can be found in the YouVersion Bible app if you're utilizing that. You can also follow along up on the screens if you would prefer to do that. So this is 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. We're going to read quite a few scriptures here today, and then we're going to go back through and we're going to break it down. So here's what it says. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. And the word of the Lord came to Elisha, depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook that I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her, and he said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as long as the Lord God lives, I have nothing baked. I only have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I might go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Verse 13, and Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord spoke by Elijah. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up to the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. And the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And verse 23, and Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true." I'm calling this message the secret place. Lord, for the next few moments, I ask that you would give me the mind of Christ. Father, I ask that you would anoint these words, God, because God, this truth that is in your word right here has the absolute power to transform our lives. This has transformed mine, God. And so, Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to move right now and that these words would not just fall flat, but you would anoint them as they are spoken. They would penetrate the hearts and the lives and the minds of your people today, that we would not be the same when we leave. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to start to break this down. In verse 1, we see Elijah, the prophet, has a confrontation with the king. He tells the king there is a drought coming. Right after this, God immediately tells Elijah to leave, to go east, and hide himself in the Cherith Brook. Now, here's a map to kind of give you an idea of where this would have been located. It is believed he had the confrontation with King Ahab in Samaria, and then God sends him east to the Cherith Brook, to the Brook Cherith. So this is a very remote location that God sent him to. Many people have visited this site, and they will tell you if you're going to hide, this would be a great place to hide. After he hides in the brook for a time, God then comes to him again and sends him northwest to Zarephath. Now, if you look at this map, you can see that Zarephath is just pretty much straight north of Samaria, which he was at. God doesn't tell him to go to Zarephath first. He tells him to go to the Cherith Brook. To me, it would just make more sense if you've got ministry in Zarephath just to send him straight to Zarephath. But notice that God did not give him the next step. God did not tell him he was going to Zarephath until he first obeyed the first command to go to the Cherith Brook. It was only while he was at the Cherith Brook that he received his next assignment from God. But as I read this story, and it's a fascinating story, and if you ever read it, it's easy to focus on everything else that's going on in this story and completely miss the fact that God told him first to go to the Cherith Brook. And I ask myself, God, why would you send the prophet to this remote place? I mean, to me, it kind of seems like a big waste of time. When he's in the Cherith Brook, he is helping nobody. He is sitting by this brook, literally watching it dry up. I mean, to me, you would think that God would send him right to Zarephath where the ministry is. He can minister to no people by this brook. His ministry is in Zarephath. But there is a reason that God told Elijah to go to Cherith first. You see, there was an important lesson that God wanted to teach him. And this is the same lesson he wants us to learn in our walk with him. It's the lesson of the secret place. So what exactly is the secret place? Look at Psalm 119, 114. It says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." The words "hiding place" are translated from a Hebrew word that means covering or secrecy. This is a place where God himself covers us, protects us. It says that God himself is the secret place. The secret place is the presence of God. Think about a tree. What makes a tree strong? It's the root system of the tree. It's what's hidden beneath the soil that determines the health and the strength of the tree. If what is hidden below the soil is weak, the entire tree is going to be weak. It doesn't matter how good the tree looks above the soil. Likewise, when we spend time in the secret place in the presence of God, what we do is we build our root system. There's something about people that have been in the secret place. You can just tell. They are people of great faith. They are people that can believe God for the impossible. Faith is the ability to move forward in a situation when we don't have all of the answers. Faith is the ability for us to move forward when life doesn't make sense. Basically, do I trust God or not? Strength to move forward will only be found in the secret place. You see, Elijah needed to visit the secret place. The secret place was vital because he needed strength for what was about to come. And he didn't know what was coming, but God did. So God said, "Elijah, I need you to spend some time in the secret place. I need you to spend some time in my presence, because if you don't, you will not have the strength to endure what is coming next." Jesus himself knew this secret. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, "In these days he," which is Jesus, "went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles: Simon, who he named Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor." Verse 17, now watch. "And he came down with them and stood on a level place." So he comes down off of the mountain with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of all their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. This was a regular practice of Jesus. You would see him consistently go to the secret place. He would get into the presence of the Father, and it was the secret place where he would gain the strength that he needed for what was to come. In the case of Jesus, what was to come? Ministry. You see, it says he came down off of the mountain, he called his disciples, and then he went to work. He came down with them, and he stood on the level place off of the mountain, and he went to work. The secret place is where we get the strength we need for the assignment God has given us. Jesus spent time in the secret place, and we see him, he went to work. He taught people. He healed people. He delivered people from demons. Look at verse 19 again. It says, "And the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out." When they touched him, power came out from him, and he healed them all. Power left him. You see, this is ministry. We go to the secret place. We spend time in God's presence. We get refreshed. Then we leave the secret place. We come down off of the mountain, so to speak, because there is work to do. There are hurting people in our midst. There are people that are going to spend eternity away from God if they don't hear the message. We spill ourselves, and then we head back to the secret place to regain our strength. It's kind of like this. We go to the secret place, and in the secret place, we are refreshed. But we're not to keep that and hoard it all to ourselves. We then come away from the secret place, and we begin to pour into other people, and we begin to serve other people. But there comes a time that we become like this, and we become empty, and we don't have anything left to give. And some of you are there right now. You have nothing left to give, and you keep trying to pour and pour and pour. But what you have to do is you have to learn the secret that only God can fill you once again. And unless you take that break, unless you allow God and you start seeking the presence of God, you won't have anything left to give. It'll just continue to be empty. Have you ever heard somebody say they're burnt out? I just can't do it anymore. I've said it, guilty. But here's what I've come to realize. People that spend time in the secret place do not burn out, because we receive strength in the secret place. People that ignore the secret place burn out. You see, we are renewed in the secret place. We are refilled in the secret place. Think about Jesus. He never complained about being burnt out. He kept going. He kept healing the sick. He kept teaching the people. He kept helping the down and out over and over and over again. If anyone would have burned out, it would have been him, because he was constantly around people. The crowds were constantly flocking to him anytime they could. But what he would do is he would distance himself. He would get back up on the mountain and spend time in the secret place. Now I want to speak to those of you in this room that you feel like you are at that place where you feel like you're empty. And you're in here today and say, man, I just don't feel like I can give anymore. I feel burnt out. You feel like you want to give up. And God wants you to know that He wants to renew your strength. But He is waiting for you to visit Him in the secret place. Get before God, spend time in His presence, and you will watch your strength return. Listen to this. Here's more proof. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 31 says, but they that wait for the Lord, this is time in the secret place, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here's more proof. These are the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Now watch. And he says, you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. God wants to renew our strength, but the strength we need will only be found in the secret place. I don't care how many vacations you take a year. It's the secret place that makes all of the difference. So Elijah hides himself in Cherith. It's just him and God. And God miraculously provides for him. The water he needs, he gets from the brook. God commands the ravens to bring him food twice a day. We could do an entire message on why God chose the raven. He could have used any bird or any means to bring Elijah food, but he chose the raven, which is odd because he chose a bird that he declared unclean in the book of Leviticus. Not only that, but ravens are known to neglect their own. They're known not to even feed their young. But here we see this bird coming to feed the prophet. You see, I believe the truth that God wants us to glean from this is He wants us to know that He is our provider. Our job is not our provider. Our spouse is not our provider. God and God alone is our provider. And so much so that even the birds move at His command. So God brought Elijah just what Elijah needed, just in time. There was no surplus. Oftentimes, God gives us just what we need when we need it. He gave him just what he needed because he needed Elijah to stay in a place of dependence on him. God used this to build Elijah's faith even more. So Elijah's being fed by the ravens. He's drinking from the brook for some time. But then something happens. The brook dries up. The water's gone. And when that happens, God speaks to Elijah again and says, it's time to move. Elijah, it's time to leave the secret place because I need you on the battlefield. There's hurting people. I need you to help. You see, here's what's happened, and this is a wonderful truth as well. If we're not careful, we can get very comfortable in the secret place. We can get comfortable in a place of rest, and we can decide, this is where I want to stay. I don't want a people. I want to get away from everyone, and I want to stay right here. But remember, the purpose of the secret place is to prepare us for our next assignment. It's to give us strength to empty ourselves again. I mean, what a great place for Elijah to be. Spending time in the presence of God day after day. He has the water he needs. He has the food he needs. All of his needs are being met. He's dealing with no conflict whatsoever. He's dealing with no problems. It's just him and God. Why would he want to leave this place? He's in a place of comfort. So God dries the brook. All God had to do was speak the word to get Elijah to the secret place, but to get him out of the secret place was another story. He had to dry the brook. He had to take away his comfort. Sometimes God will dry your brook to force you to move out of the secret place. The secret place is important, but this is the flip side of the coin. God does not intend for you to stay there. And this is a trap for so many of us. We can fall into this trap where we completely quit serving other people. I tell you, there is a time where we need to say amen. We need to end the prayer. We need to close the Bible and come down from the mountain and enter the battlefield. We need soldiers on the ground, so to speak. People that are willing to get their hands dirty for the glory of God. You see, we get worn out. We get tired. Then we head back to the secret place. We get refreshed. And then we get back to work. And I look at everything God is doing in this church. There is a lot of work that happens in this church. And it never stops. I get tired. I get worn out. And in those times of getting worn out, sometimes I notice myself getting a little short with people. It's not intentional. It's just the byproduct of being exhausted. When I get to this point, I know what I need to do. It's like an alarm goes off inside of me. If I start getting short with people, when I find myself getting short with people or irritated by things that don't normally irritate me, I know at that point it's time for me to disconnect from everything and go to the secret place. This is the only thing that works for me, and it does not get better until I go to the secret place. But again, I'm not supposed to stay in the secret place. The purpose of the secret place is to gain the strength I need to get back to serving people. I still remember November of 2016, years ago. This was the month, I'll never forget it, that God dried the brook for me personally. We'd been in Phoenix at this point now for 5 years, and I watched God do some amazing things there. And I had at this time what would be called the dream job in the ministry world. I was a number two guy in a church that's known around the world. I got to sit in the green room behind stage and shake hands with some of the best well-known ministers in the world, like Joyce Meyer, John Bevere. Man, I was back there with them in the same room. I got to sit in the front row and listen to these people preach, people that are advancing the kingdom of God in a great way. But in November 2016, I got to a place where I just lost all of my joy. I was in a place of extreme comfort. We lived in a great home. We had great friends. Life was good, but I lost my joy. And God began to speak, it's time to go. Here was the challenge. I didn't really want to go. I liked being in this place of financial comfort that we had never been in before. I resisted and I resisted, so God dried up the brook. My joy was gone. Kyla and I talked and decided it was time to go. God had provided greatly for us during those years, more than any other season in our life. But he came to us and said, now I need you to give it up. I need you to give up your comfort, and I need you to trust me once again as your provider. It's time to step off of the mountain because there are hurting people in the valley. So we resigned our position there. Kyla resigned her position. I remember a spirit of fear and panic came over me. The enemy came in and shouted in my ear, "You are a fool! Are you sure you heard from God?" And it kept me up at night. I'm just being real with you. I'm human just like you. The secret place is to prepare us for what is next, but we are not to stay there. So what does the secret place look like, practically speaking? I'm going to show you what it looks like to me. It might look different for you. Personally, I try to visit the secret place every single day. I never used to. But I've learned if I can just spend some time, even if it's a small amount of time, in God's presence every day, it prepares me for whatever comes. So here's my schedule Monday through Friday. I'm only sharing this with you as an example. Probably won't work for you. Got to find something that works for you. But I feel like an illustration will help you. The weekends are a little bit different, but every weekday, Monday through Friday, I get up at 3:30 a.m., usually work out till about 4:30 a.m. At 4:30, I start the coffee, and that's when I head to the secret place. This usually consists of prayer, Bible reading. I may read something else. I may do nothing but listen to music and shut my eyes and focus on God. It looks a little bit different every day. No distractions. It's just a time of peace and calm. I do this till about 5 a.m. I get ready to be out the door by 6. So I do about 30 minutes a day. Some days I need more. But it's usually 30 minutes a day. And here's what I have noticed. When I do this, because I have made this a practice in my life, I am able to handle stress and other difficulties that the day throws at me much better. I'm more patient with people. When I don't do this, and there's sometimes things happen and I don't do it, I notice I'm shorter with people. I'm more on edge with people. My patience is thin. Like the days I decide to hit the snooze button 15 times and sleep to the last minute. Start my day a little frantic. Now I'm in a rush and the whole day I'm on edge. The secret place prepares me for what is ahead. I encourage you for the next 40 days to make the secret place a priority. Just do it for the next 40 days. Make it a priority. Start tomorrow. It's a day off for many of us. Don't neglect the secret place. If you have kids, get up before they do. Now, this can be a challenge. I've had small kids in the house. Trust me when I say this. There's going to be times that you get up early and you're like, I got to spend time in God's presence. And the next thing you know is the little door opens and the little pitter-patter feet are going across the floor. And you want to kick them outside in the backyard. And it's frustrating. At least it was for me. I want to go to the secret place. I'm excited. And here come the Rugrats. You just have to realize that's a season that you are in. It will not last forever. It doesn't happen to me anymore unless the dog gets up and I have to take care of the dog. But most of the time, there's no distractions. It's a season. I just want to encourage you to stay faithful with the secret place. Maybe yours is in the afternoon. Maybe yours is in the evening before you go to bed. Not every day is going to unfold the way you want to, but it does better for me to schedule it, because if I don't schedule it, I'm more likely to skip it. More than 6 years ago, I stood up here and I challenged this church to join me in a fast for the first time, a 40-day fast to start the year. Some of you were here at that time. I was surprised, actually, that so many people did, and many said it was by far one of the most difficult things they'd ever done in their life. The first one that I had ever done was the most difficult thing I'd ever done in my life up to that point. Since then, I have challenged you with this 40-day fast every year. I usually fast for something personal, but I still remember the year 2019. That was the year I didn't fast for anything personal. That year was the year I fasted specifically for this church. I didn't ask for anything personal. I just asked for a miracle in this church. Because I was in prayer one day and the Holy Spirit revealed to me that there was a spirit of defeat that was over this church. Some of you remember me talking about this. The church splits this church had gone through. The disappointments and the broken promises of the past. And because of all of the turmoil, I felt like there was this heavy spirit of defeat. And I remember preaching in those first few months here, those first couple years, and a lot of days it was like I was preaching in quicksand. It was just such a heaviness in this place. And I realized in order for us to ever move forward as a church and the church become the church that God had ordained us to be, the spirit that was over this church would have to break. And I knew that the roots were deep, and I knew it would not be easy, but those words of Jesus rang in my ear, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. And I knew it was going to take a strong act of prayer and fasting to break the spirit that was over this church. So I started to fast that year for this church, and man, I tell you, it was a war. The fast ended, seemed like nothing changed. But I also know that sometimes our answer to our prayer does not come right away. We have to trust God's timing. And I'll never forget the day. It was the middle of June of that year. And I remember walking up here on this platform just like every other weekend. I stood behind this pulpit just like every other weekend. But that day, just like that, I felt in my spirit that something had shifted. In one moment of time, the atmosphere of this entire church was different. And since that day, we have seen countless miracles of salvation. We've seen changed lives. We've seen great miracles of provision. But on top of all of that, I have witnessed the faith level of so many of you in this church rise, and you have become excited for the things of God once again. And I feel like in more ways than one that we have seen God move mountains and demolish strongholds. But this is only the start. We cannot hit off the gas and hit cruise control now. We have to keep moving forward with the kingdom of God and growing the kingdom of God. And so before every fast, I give that to you as an example. I ask myself a question. What is my this kind? What is my struggle? Basically this right here. What looks impossible that will not come to pass without a miracle from God? There is something about starting the year with a fast. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." There is a biblical principle that says God will bless you in the area you put him first. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is true of anything. It's true of our finances. It's true of our family. It's true in our relationships. This is one of the ways that we can put him first to start the year. So here again is the challenge for you this year. You have two handouts on your seat. If you did not get them, they will be at the hub. You can stop out there. One is the prayer and fasting card. Now, you do not have to do this. I am not one of those pastors that stands up and says, the whole church is going to do this, whether you want to do it or not. I've been told that before. And those fasts, I felt like there was just nothing. I was just doing it because I had to, and there was no connection with God. When I started the fast because I wanted to get to a deeper level with God. I want to spend time in that secret place. That's when life changes. So if you want to do this, if you don't want to do it, no one's going to be knocking at your door saying, hey, are you doing that? This is strictly between you and God, and the fast that you do is between you and God. Okay? So on the front page is a 3-part 40-day commitment. Prayer. I want you to spend for the next 40 days, spend some time every day in the secret place. For the next 40 days. That's part of the challenge. Also, I want you to fill out this card, my prayer for 2024. Fill this out. You don't have to put your name on it if you don't want to. There's a slot for your name, but if you want to keep it confidential, you can do that. Fill out this card. Then in the back lobby, it says prayer wall. There's some little clothespin clips. Clip your prayer request to the prayer wall. And then we're going to collect them over this series. And then when we're done collecting them, we're going to give them to the prayer team, and we're going to start praying fervently over these, every one of these needs for 2024. So we're not just going to leave them up there for a pretty wall design. We're actually going to take these, and we're going to seek God on your behalf with you. So please make sure you do that. The second thing on there is the second part of the 40-day challenge is to fast. For the next 40 days, choose a fast. There's several of them listed there, but basically this is between you and God. Don't let the enemy come in and beat you up. This is between you and God. It's not between you and anyone else. Just because your fast doesn't look like mine doesn't mean you're less spiritual or more spiritual or anything like that. This is between you and God. Okay? The third thing is to assemble, commit each weekend over the next 40 days to be here in person or watch online every weekend, next 40 days. The backside has a prayer list, what we're praying for, what we're believing for. Prayed for the church, just some general guidelines for you to take into your prayer closet and begin to pray. And we do this every year. These are the things that we just go to heaven with every single year. But for the next 40 days, starts January 1st tomorrow, ends on February 9th. I encourage you, man, let's make God a priority and just watch what God does. Sam, if you could go ahead and come on up at this time. I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we just want to thank you today. We want to thank you for the secret place. God, I know the secret place is easy to neglect. It is for me because I get so busy and I say I just don't have time. But what I realize is I only hurt myself. You are waiting in the secret place. Your word even says that if we seek you, we will find you. If we seek you with all your heart, that's all of our heart. That's the secret place. You are waiting in the secret place. But just like Elijah had to physically put himself in the secret place, so do we. We need to make it a priority. So Holy Spirit, I just pray in this moment right now that you begin, I believe you already are, but that you just speak to your people. God, maybe put a plan together of how we can make this a daily practice for the next 40 days, just to spend time in your presence. God, this has been something that's changed my life. And God, I want that for everyone else, and it's available. And so, God, I just want to thank you today. God, as we begin as a church on another year of fasting and prayer, I believe, God, you're going to do miracles. I believe, God, you're going to bring strongholds down. I believe, God, that this is going to be a year, Lord, that we're entering into here unlike any other. Not only in this church, but in our lives personally. Because God, just over the last few months, I've just watched what you've done in this church and the incredible growth and the baptisms and people that have been set free. And God, I know that that is going to continue. So God, I just want to thank you right now for speaking into the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, I want you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed.